Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom.
Amen. I'm going to do the statement of faith, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.
Amen.
All right. Now, are you prepared to read for yourself, or do you need a reader?
I've been thinking about you long enough. I think I can do it.
All right. Amen. Amen. Yah be the glory. All right. If I can have everybody else. Have your attention. Let us do our statement of faith. Let's find out where it went to. There it goes. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy 6 and 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews 8 and 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and to keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing, and the taking in of his our statement of faith. In Yeshua's precious name, amen and amen. And
amen, amen, amen.
Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise for this day and for our commitment to him and all that he has done to us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to turn this over to Brother Isaiah. God's mercy is new every morning. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace to my brothers and sisters that are near and also that are far. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, but definitely to Yah's Global Kingdom and dealing with my podcast, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm the teacher and reader tonight, and we're dealing with a very, very, very interesting topic today. Not too long, but just to give us strength, you know, strength and hope. You know, and to give people who have fallen short a chance, opportunity to get back up and get on this walk. But one thing we need to understand about this precept, brothers and sisters, one thing we really do need to understand about this precept is what it's called. And it is called God's mercy is new every morning. Now, you can understand something. When this was written in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, It really opens your eyes up to understanding, definitely dealing with other generations, because you can go into the Bible and read certain situations and topics and see how the Lord deal with it. You know, hey, amen, he deal with it that way, but the same point in time is that the Bible is showing us his mercy. He is showing us his mercy, and he is showing us, if the Bible said that it's new every morning, just imagine the level of mercy God have for us day by day. You see, some of us might think, you know, oh, man, I dropped all the way off. Then get back up. It is better to get back up than to stay fall. You don't scrape and bust your knee and just say skip it and just lay on the ground hoping and waiting for a car to run you over. No. If you bust your knee and you fall, whatever part that is able to get up, you go drag your body out of the way and keep it moving. Just like a baby. When a baby falls, it'll cry. But best believe that baby is going to get back up and finish out his mission or her mission or get some candy or some cookies or something. But we got to understand one thing, brothers and sisters. We can't be too brutal on ourselves. You know? You can't be too brutal on yourselves. Why do you think when you read the Bible, the Lord keep things so simple for us? We already know we're supposed to keep the law, statutes, and judgments. And, you know, and if you're doing those things, then, of course, the law is not pointing its finger at you because it's in your everyday life. It's for the ones who are seeking help. It's for the ones that just, you know, that have not got a chance, opportunity to seek the Most High God. But one thing we need to understand is that there's mercy, because remember, the Lord said, be ye merciful, for I am merciful. And if the Bible said that his mercy is new every morning, then it's obvious that, hey, maybe we need to upgrade on our mercy as well. It's because it's too many. We are too quick to be, what's that word? We don't have enough patience. We want God to be patient with us, so we get to be patient with others. That's another thing, too. So we're going to get into this precept, brothers and sisters. I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then I will read something. Then I will read a scripture, and then we're going to get started. And it's not going to be a long one, but we're looking for some nice, good strength from the Most High God that dwells in the third heaven. So I'm grabbing my scripture right now, and then we're going to get started into the precept. So I'm going to ask all sisters to please cover your head, and I'm going to ask all brothers to please uncover your head, and if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. Again, all praises. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the reading is coming from the book of Psalms, chapter 96, and it starts at verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. All worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the world rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Amen. The reading was taking place in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verses 1 through 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now it's time for us to get these scriptures together, and it's always pure razor blades and lemon juice. But it's going to be some good stuff today. So in case we have any new listeners popping in at this very moment, the name of the lesson is called God. Thank you. Hello?
Brother Isaiah, you there. Go ahead. You're good.
I'm here?
Yeah. Go ahead. You're good.
Okay.
You're here. Forgive us.
Okay,
you're on fire. Hallelujah. You were awesome. That was awesome. Amen.
All right, amen, all praise. I heard muted, unmuted. I said, oh, okay, I'm out again. Oh, it's all good. We're going to get it together. All right, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and get into the precept. The name of the precept, one more time, is called God's Mercy is New Every Morning. So let us go into the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 22. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. I have one hand on a mic and one on the Bible, so just give me a second. The book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And what I'm going to do is pick it up at verse 22. And we're going to read verses 22 through 24. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his righteousness fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. All praises. So now what we need to understand is that we got to look at verse 23. Verse 23 said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is new? Verse 22, his compassion, his mercy, it faileth not. And you better understand that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So what we need to do is look up this word new. The word new in the adjective means not existing before. So this new, if it's every morning, it wasn't existed before. It is something new. So why are we going to beat and bash ourselves down and just be like, oh, man, you know, you did this, you did that. Why not just dust your shoulders off and try to do better next time? The rest of the definition of this word new means we get not existing before, we get made, we get introduced or discovered recently, or discovered recently or now for the first time. And the synonyms is brand new. It also means advanced. It also means fresh. It also means new fashioned. It also means way cut. It also means far out. So why we go point fingers at what other people are doing, or maybe their shortcomings, or you looking at yourself in the mirror? Don't you know God know us better than we know ourselves? So the first thing we want to do is be like, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. But Lord might be like, you're hurting the right place, but you're not where you think you are right now. So even though you jawjacking and you're talking, my mercy will be there, because you're going to get there one day, but you need time to progress. So it's new. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our thoughts that we're trying to get right. We might have actions that we take hold on that we're not too fond of. But what we need to do is, it's just to understand. Do better every day. Some days you might be high above the sky. Some days you might not be that high as the sky. Some days you might be low. Some days you might just be low as the pits of hell, which is the grave. Does that mean that you stop? No, brothers and sisters. No matter how hard life gets, no matter how up your flesh is on you, you still do the best you can to serve the true and living God. And even if you knew popping in, a fresh way to start is the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Do those to the best of your ability, because that's really teaching you how to love God and how to love others. It's because we beat ourselves up too much. Because you need to understand something. Stress kills. Stress brings gray hair. Stress brings so many other things. I ain't telling you to be happy-go-lucky on your shortcomings. No, I'm not saying that. Stay away from them and do the best you can to stay away from them. But the same point of time is, you are in this flesh and you're going to have issues. But what God is telling us is just to constantly keep focusing on him and do all you can to stay away from your shortcomings or to stay away from your thoughts, and just to practice and to keep your mindset focused on the Most High God. So when I'm looking at this, his mercy and compassion and stuff is new every morning. But yeah, we still got hope. It might seem like you Lord in dirt, but at the same point in time, is get back up and try again. And if the Lord said, "Be ye merciful, for I am merciful," or "Be ye holy, for I am holy," then we're supposed to do the exact same thing to our brothers and sisters. Be compassionate on them. Be merciful unto them. Show them some love. Learn how to communicate with one another and to understand how this thing is supposed to go. Amen. Now let us go into the book of Malachi chapter 3. The book of Malachi chapter 3. Because so we have to understand what God said about himself. It's because we're so quick to see that God said that I am God and I change not. But let's read this a little slowly. a little bit slower so we can catch what God is about to talk about in this conversation. So what we're going to do is pick it up in the book of Malachi chapter 3. The book of Malachi chapter 3, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 6. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. How do you think this conversation is going right now? In the first part of verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And then he turned around and said, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why do you think they're not consumed? It's because of his mercy. I change not. So if I say I'm rich in mercy, I'm going to be rich in mercy. I'm not, don't abuse it, because some do get that mercy and some don't. Some get a slap on the wrist and some get knocked out. But the same point in time is that the Lord say, I change not. And that's why y'all not consumed. Because the Lord is rich in mercy. So no matter what your, whatever your shortcoming is, or whatever battle you got in the flesh, or your walk, if your walk ain't that good, make it good. If your conversation ain't that great, make it great. And the order, and the only way to make it great is to stay away from poison people and negative people. Then you'll be able to see the perfect picture. Let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 9. Oh, excuse me. No. The book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1, and all we're going to do is pick it up in verse 3. The book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Oops, I'm in the wrong spot. Give me 1 second, y'all. Oh, okay. The book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Excuse me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So now, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So this is telling us everybody has a problem. Everybody has issues. Everybody ain't straight. Everybody is having a battle within themselves. So how could we, so when somebody walk up to you and ask you, are you okay? They say you got all type of knives in your back. And you turn around and say, yeah, I'm cool. I'm good. I ain't got no problems. I'm always good. Yeah, whatever. Everybody got issues. Everybody falls short. Confess them. And Lord, he'll heal us from it. But you got to be patient. And you got to work at it. He'll take care of the rest. But confess. Confess to the Most High God, Lord, I need some help. I thought I was super holy. I'm not super holy. I thought I had this thing down packed. Lord, I don't got it all unpacked, downloaded and packed. Some thoughts slipped towards my mind that shouldn't have been there. And sometimes my conversation ain't always that good. Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you and let you know, Lord, that I'm not all the way right. I need some help. And what do you think he's going to do? You realize you need help and you're confessing your sins? I'll give you some help. So no matter how bad or hard it get, let's keep going. Please don't give up. Because it's a better shot at the kingdom that the Lord seen that you at least try than to up and just say forget it and go into this world. I don't care how far down you get. I don't care how far or low down you get when it comes to this world we live in. Recognize and know what's wrong. And then start making progress and making the situation better by changing your ways, by eliminating poison people, by learning how to focus and to do things right. and to keep your focus on God, staying in your Bible, doing some lessons, practicing at being a better person when you're out here in this world. You have to give freely, give it. And always be joyful, be happy, be long-suffering, be meek, be temperate, be very patient, and let those fruits of spirit overcome you. Now we're dealing with a person that's seeking and serving the true Most High God. But it said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So let's be careful with this. You know you got shortcomings? Go to the Father with your shortcomings and believe that he can deliver you out of anything. Okay? All praises. Because we need to find out something else about this guy, too. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and what I'm going to do is read verse 3. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we are very blessed that the Most High God came from the third heaven and came down in his filthy flesh and died for our sins because we really didn't deserve it. But he did that to give us hope again. Not saying that he came down, died for our sins, and we all got a clear shot cut to the kingdom. No. It's like, for example, you do something crazy, you get 55 years in jail. You know your friend is a millionaire. He bail you out. What do you think is going to happen if you decide to go back to that same thing you was doing that got you 55 years? Then you're going right back into jail. So this is not an automatic shot to the kingdom. It's just giving you some more dice to roll. It's giving you a second chance. Because you really don't deserve it. But the book already said, I'm God, I change not. That's why ye are not consumed. We are not consumed because of his greatness and mercy. But this does not mean it's going to always be there. So that's why we need to take hold on it. And do the very best we can to walk this thing right. So we got a second shot. We have a chance, opportunity of this hope. Because after every single thing we have done that the Most High has did, the last thing that's left on the table is hope. We're hoping that we get the kingdom. So let's hope. Let's understand this mercy. Let's understand this love. And let's try to get this thing right. Let us go into the book of Isaiah chapter 64. It's because we need to also understand this thing too. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 6. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 6. So we understand a little bit something about ourselves and not to beat ourselves up too bad, okay? Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our righteousness ain't number filthy rags. So why are we going to sit up here and think we go up somebody else on something that we think we're doing so pious and holy and righteous? Let us humble ourselves. Let us understand and know that it's through God's grace and mercy we get that kingdom or not.
Because the righteousness we think we're performing, the book is telling us, is like filthy rags. So this is why God is rich in mercy. This is why his mercy is new every morning. This is why his mercy is advanced for us. This is why his mercy is brand new for us. This is why it's new fashion, way out there. Because you can just imagine mercy that God has given us in this westernized world in America compared to the people back in his Bible, definitely in the Old Testament. A man picked up sticks on Sabbath day and got stoned to death. We crying and begging for meat in the wilderness. The Lord gave us what we want just to get us whooped and to kill a couple of us. Korah was talking crazy to Moses and Aaron and polluted the whole children of Israel. We see how far that mercy has gotten. So when you look at the situations according to the book, you got to understand something. We had our own nation. We had our own people. We all knew what tribe we was from. We all knew the book compared to now. If God was to judge us how he judged people back then, we all would be slaughtered. He'd probably make us have a bunch of babies just so he can get them grown and get us out of here. So you got to understand something about how this book is written. We're so quick to go and look at all these things on what happened to people. But you got to understand that this world we live in now, this is America. This is all we know. We're so quick just to try to throw all this other stuff up into this picture. But what we need to understand is we all born in this filthy country. All we can do is try the best we can to do what's right. This is why when the man came to Moses, God, he said, "Lord, which is the two greatest commandments? The first commandment is to love God with all your heart and soul, and the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself." And they said, "Hang the law and the prophets up with that." You go into the book of Matthew, chapter 25, pick up at verse 31 through 40. You can see the Lord, he divided the sheep from the goats. The ghost is considered wicked, the sheep is considered righteous. And he told them, "Man, y'all come into the kingdom, y'all blessed. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me." Lord, let me see you like this. "Man, when you did it to them people out there in the streets, you did that to me. Y'all get in the kingdom." You see, because we sit here and read things like this. What do God really want out of us? Once you understand what God wants out of us, you understand what you need to do to get into the kingdom. You go into the book of Psalms, chapter 82, and you can pick it up at verse 1 through 6. I said, "Y'all guys, but y'all down like men." And then he gives you the tools on to get in the kingdom. To fend the fatherless and the poor. Do good to the widow. To the afflicted. Rid them out of the hands of the oppressor. Do those things, man, and you got the first shot for the kingdom. So what do God really want out of us? He wants us to love one another. He wants us to strengthen one another. He wants us to be there for our brother. A brother is born for what? Adversity. His heartache, his troubles, hers too. But to simply strengthen each other and to show them, man, hey, I'm here for you. You ain't got no way. The Lord gave me here for a way for you. This thing is all about love. It's all about compassion. It's all about mercy. It's all about love. It's all about charity. This is what this thing is all about. So if you're sad or upset that maybe you don't know that much book, you might not know that much Bible, let me tell you something. If that understanding ain't given to you like that, let me tell you what's going to get you in the first resurrection. Take your shirt off and give it to somebody that's in need. And keep doing the best you can to help those that's in need. I guarantee you it'll be a very good report card. once you understand how strong love is. But now let's go into the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because we understand our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So if we know our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, then what all can we do? What could we do just to even this thing out a little bit? So at least try to get a spot in the kingdom. What should we do? That's a pretty legit question. What should we do? So then let's go on to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and what I'm going to do is read verse 12. It's because our righteousness is 50 rags, right? So, like, what are we going to do, right? What all can we do? Let's find out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast possessed a good profession before many witnesses. So all we can really do, brothers and sisters, is fight a good fight. If it say fight a good fight, that means you might not win every fight you get yourself into. So when they say fight a good fight, ain't talking about you gonna be all nice, clean, and dandy. No, you might have a black eye, a busted nose, busted lip, limping, teeth all knocked out, no jaw teeth, but you still swinging. You still fighting for salvation. You still trying to do what's right and what's pleasing the Most High God eyesight. We fighting a good fight. We not going to give up. I failed this time, Lord, but hey, I know you're rich in mercy. I'm going to get back up and keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on swinging to the bell ring. Let's fight the good fight. Even though we filthy rags, but heck, we can fight a good fight. Why not give it our best? Lord, I ain't perfect, but hey, I try to be perfect. I can't get all these things right, Lord, but I'm going to try to get it right every day. Them thoughts slip sometimes, Lord, but hey, I'm gonna try to play a lesson or something, or try to get into a Bible audio or something. My conversation ain't been too good. Lord, I'm going to try to stay with people at the job so I can walk by myself. I'm going to do everything my willpower that I can do just to try to walk and get this thing right. So let us fight the good fight. So now let us go into the book of Luke, the book of Luke chapter 6. The book of Luke chapter 6, and what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 36. Luke 6. And we're going to pick it up at verse 36. Just one verse, 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So you show mercy, just like the God in the third heaven show mercy. We show compassion towards one another. We show love towards one another. But the whole thing we're looking at is mercy. Just because your brother offended, you know, if you've been offended, hey, talk it out. And if you still can agree, then you can still love him from afar. But we all need to learn how to be merciful, because the God of Israel in heaven is merciful. Be ye merciful, for I am merciful. Amen. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see if we can get boldly with this. Let's go to verse 16. The book of Hebrews 6, oh, excuse me, the book of Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So first thing first is, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But the Lord said, be merciful, for I am merciful. So according to what mercy you show, that's the mercy God goes show towards you. So if you have no mercy, you know, somebody messed up one time, oh, that's it. Then what you think, how you think God is going to deal with you at that appointed time? You all rough, you ain't let nothing go, then God ain't going to be rough and he ain't going to let nothing go. All your dirty laundry you thought that you had hidden, he's going to bring every last one of them up. So, yeah, I go there. I mean, you went there in this lifetime. Why? So you should know I'm about to go there for everlasting life. You've been somebody offended you and you can't forgive them? Somebody might have said the wrong thing to you and they came to you and they really apologized and they were sorry, you can't forgive them? Somebody might have said the wrong word to you. You so hurt that you just can't forgive them. Let us learn about this mercy so we get mercy at the appointed time. Amen. Now let us go to the book of Psalms chapter 103. The book of Psalms chapter 103. And what I'm going to do is pick this up at verse 1. The book of Psalms chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is it, that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, so the Lord, he'll forgive you for your iniquities, and he'll heal you through all thy diseases. So we'd be so scared when something pop up and happen. Oh, Lord, what happened? Don't you know God can cure you from that? How many of us have faith and believe that the Lord can cure you from any sickness you have? Let me tell you this story. I was talking to my little baby sister. Lord bless her soul, bless her heart. Talk to my baby sister, right? She was telling me this story that she found. I think it was the article, but she was talking to me about this story. You know, this girl was crying and she was very, very happy. You know, and she was really just pursuing people to seek and search the Most High God. Right. So this woman, right, she was on Facebook, right? She had this illness. She had this sickness. You know, it was something in her stomach, right? It was something in her stomach. She went to the hospital, right? They came back and said she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. But the pain constantly kept increasing, and it was going into other spots of her body and stuff. So she went to, you know, to another doctor. They said she was perfectly fine. You know, but she said, man, something got to be wrong, right? And she went to an all black doctor specialist. You know, they came through, gave her a whole bunch of, you know, like the x-rays and stuff like that to see what's wrong with her. She was fine. They didn't find nothing. But the pain is constantly getting worse. And then she talked to one of her sisters in Christ. And her sister in Christ said, well, if they can't find nothing, have you thought about praying to God? The sister prayed with every day. The brethren's prayed with every day. She started praying. And guess what? The pain went away. Every ounce of it went away. True story. She had this sickness or whatever that was on her, paining her and hurting her. No man can cure it. But by faith and trust in the Most High God, it cured that woman. And she went on, and then she went on a video, you know, and like pursuing and telling people, man, you know, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in woman. Don't put your trust in doctors or scientists or anything like that. But what I'm going to tell you to do is that you put your trust in the Most High God, because he can deliver you out of anything. Any disease, any sickness you have, God has the power and ability to take it away from you, just like that. Who forgiveth all the iniquities? Who healeth all diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So we sitting here be so angry and bitter and upset, but the Bible's telling us the Lord, he's not quick to be angry. I know that you flesh. I know you get this flesh upon you. You have a desire to do right, but sometimes, you know, it be hard to get it right sometimes. I know you want to do good to the best of your ability and your heart. I see it. But you just need to work on your flesh a little bit more, and you'll be able to accomplish the desires you have for the Most High God. I see in your heart that you want to move this mountain so you can make a way for God's people. I see it. But in order for you to move that, I got to give you mercy on your shortcomings, because you have a great desire, but you're just not there yet. So he ain't going to be, he not going, oh, you doing this again. Oh, that's it. No, he's slow to anger. He's slow to wrath. We got to understand that God knows better than we know ourselves. So the Lord see the good things we want to do, but sometimes we just need time and patience so we'll be able to get it done. So don't be so quick just to do something. Sometimes it might take time. Sometimes you might got to go through a couple of things just to get the understanding you need to get it done. All these things take time, brothers and sisters. So this is why we need to understand that the book said that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. All praise to the Father in Jesus' name. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Let us remember that. Let's do the best we can and understand that, hey, the Lord God is with me. I might not have it all right today, but I truly believe at that time appointed, the Lord will have everything I need done at that appointed time. Let us believe that. Let us hope for that. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And the word chide only means chastisement or reproof. In a verb, that's all that means, to chastise. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Right? So he might be a little upset with you, but how long do it normally last? It normally don't last that long. Because he's not here to try to destroy and beat us and demolish us. He's here to help us to get this thing right. So he ain't going to always chastise you on all your stupidity. But he's going to get what he need about you so you can get that thing done. So let us learn mercy with this thing. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So remember, what we're doing is enough to get our head knocked off. But all he's doing is pulling our ear. The actions we do is enough to get us punched in the stomach.
But all he doing is smacking us in the back of the head. We should get body slammed for these behaviors. But all he doing is pushing you and roughing you up. So we supposed to be getting this ginormous beat down. What our Lord is doing is chastising us and talking to us and probably slapping us in the back of our head a couple of times. So we deserve a bigger punishment. But through his mercy, he give us just a little whooping, a little chastisement. I'm going to give you a chance to get this thing right. I'm supposed to do something really big to you, but I'm merciful. So I'm going to give you some time. So instead of me slapping you, I'm just going to pull your ear and push you to the direction I want you to go. So he ain't dealing with us according to our foolishness. He's not dealing with us according to our sins, our iniquities. I'm not beating you how I'm supposed to be beating you. But rather, I'm showing you mercy. So you can get this thing done. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So now we understand we got to fear the Lord. And remember, to fear the Lord is to do what? It's to hate pride and arrogancy. You got to understand that too. So if you fear God and you're trying to do this thing right, you're trying to do what's right and pleasing the Most High God's eyesight, and then you get that mercy. I'll be merciful to you. I see that you're trying the best you can, but you're slipping and sliding. I ain't going to let you fall too hard. But because you fear me and you're trying to do what's right, I give you that mercy, and I give you that time you need to get this thing done. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, my gosh. You see how far the east is toward the west? So far hath he removed our transgressions from us? I'm going to dig deep into that, but we can move along. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. So, you know, he ain't going to be quick just to demolish us. Because then, you know, if he do that, then the only thing left for this filthy rags is the second resurrection. They ain't nothing but dust. It's like having mercy on an ant. You can easily just step on an ant and end his very life. But if you look down and have compassion on that ant, see him with food, a little colony, you're just going about your business leading them alone. You see, that's how God sees us sometimes. We ain't nothing but dust. You know, after he kill us, then all we got coming the second resurrection. That's it. But the book is telling us that he pitieth them that fear him. And that's feel sorry for us. You know, you can't get it all right. But at least you're trying to get it right. I know you just dust. I know you ain't nothing but flesh. Just do the best you can and get it right. 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes. So we only here for a hot second. We ain't here that long. For the wind passes over it. And it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Right? So it's an easy fix. So that's what Lord is just, you know, he being merciful unto us. Because if I just stop your life, then that's it. No more memory, no more nothing. You're gone. Well, he don't want to do us like that. So that's why he's trying to give us nice little good-sized life just to try to get this thing done right. 16. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall it be, excuse me, and the place, excuse me, and the
and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of the word of his word. Blessed be ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Brothers and sisters, we got to understand, we have a great and incredible God. This is why I tell y'all to do the best you can to serve God. Try to stay in his mercy and show other people mercies. And understand this mercy that God is talking about definitely in this time generation, well, this time frame we in right now. You know, I want to go back to that for a second, is because we just need to understand something. If the Bible is telling us that his mercy is new every morning, we understand that that the word new means brand new or advanced. We got to understand that the Lord has given us way, 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 way more mercy than how it was done back then. He has upgraded and given us a new abundance of mercy because he's trying to make sure we get this thing right. He know that we don't have a people that's like that with him no more. He know we don't know what heritage we come from. He know that we don't have no government set up for ourselves. He know we ain't got no kings or priests that we have that we can call on. He know that this world is corrupt with madness and foolishness to the point when you're on TV, when you're on the bus, you know, when you're on the train, you know, when you're watching TV, you know, if you're talking to colleagues or associates or just having any type of manner of conversations out and about, everything is jacked up and turned upside down. Should we know that God know that already? So now you got to understand about this mercy. This is why it's new. That's why it's advanced. That's why it's new fashioned. Brand new. It's because, for one, we're flesh. And for two, we're in this westernized world. So this is what I'm telling you, man, to do the best you can to serve the Most High God and stay away from your foolishness. Now let's go into the book of James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2. The book of James, chapter 2. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 12. And we're going to read verses 12 through 13. Verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So we talked about this earlier. In verse 13, it said, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So we need to understand about this. God's mercy is new every morning. So if it's an advanced portion of mercy, that means we're supposed to have the same exact extra portion of mercy. It's because if you don't have no type of mercy, and if you're just brutal and can't be temperate or long-suffering and patient with others, then what do you think God is going to do to us at that appointed time? You want to fuss and do all these things towards this person? Then the Lord, hey, then I'm going to remember your shortcomings. When you realize somebody did something and you just can't show no mercy, then at a point in time, I'm not going to show you no mercy. We are supposed to be long-suffering as the Lord God of Israel is long-suffering, brothers and sisters. So let's do that, okay? Let's go into the book of Romans chapter 7, because we need to understand something. We're talking about this mercy, and we need to understand one thing about this mercy that our brother Paul is about to tell us about. Let's go into the book of Romans chapter 7. the book of Romans chapter 7. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 14. So we can understand that God has mercy on us. Even when we want to do good, sometimes ain't in us to do it. But the bad we do sometimes we find ourselves entertaining that with our thoughts. But let's see if we can get understanding about this thing and how hard Paul needs God's mercy, even though he is a pretty flawless person in his Bible. So what we're going to do is just, we're not going to read all of this, but what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 14. And we're going to read verses 14 through 25. And I will cut off when necessary to break some things down. Let's pick this up at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. So this lets you go back to that conversation we had a little earlier. You know, you have a mindset to do abundance of multitude of great things for God. You want to do it, but how that flesh is sometimes, you don't find yourself doing that. You might want to do something great for God, but then turn around and watch Netflix all night. And now you forgot what you were supposed to be doing when you was at work, when you was thinking about it. So, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul is showing us that his is more of an issue in the inside, his heart. So I'm not out there doing the things that I'm doing, but it's more of the thought process, the mindset. Because I don't do those things, but it's the sin that dwelleth in me. So if it's the sin that's dwelling in him, that means it's his battle and a fight, the good fight that he's dealing with is his thoughts. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So what do you think this is talking about? Let me read that again. Let me read a little bit better than that. Excuse me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So what do you think Paul is telling us? Is that sometimes I want to do what's good. Sometimes I don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't find myself doing it. But I know I should be doing it. But sometimes they didn't mean to do it. So you might be thinking to do what's right, but sometimes how that flesh is, man, I ain't about to do nothing today. Sometimes you want to do good, but sometimes you just say, it might not go as according to plan in your thoughts when you was at work. When you worked them long hours, now you're at home chilling. You want to do good sometimes, but sometimes they need you to do good. Just making a long story short. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's more of a thought thing with him. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So now you got to understand this mercy that God has given us. Because we all need to understand, when you want to do good, you got to understand evil going to be present with you. This is why we read, fight the good fight. You're going to have a bloody eye, black, a busted nose, no jaw teeth, because you're trying to fight good, but hey, evil present with you. So it's a war. Wars have battles. Just because you won a battle don't mean you won the war. So you go win a couple of battles and you go lose some. We should know God knows that. I know you're going to fight a good fight. And I know you could get knocked out sometimes, but I know you're going to try to get back up. Because when you want to do good, evil's present with you. Just try to have control better over your flesh during these situations. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So he delighted. Of course, you are, we always got God in our mind. We always want to do things better. Because it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So this ain't no super holy Joe Blow thing that you think you're holier than thou. This is letting you know that even when you want to do good in certain moments that God is still going to be a battle. You're still going to have to fight your thoughts. You're still going to have to fight your feelings. You're still going to have to fight your anger. You still got to make sure that you strengthen up on your long-suffering, your charity, your meekness, your patience, your long-suffering. You still got to make all of this stuff is taken apart on this play. You got to overcome your anger. You got to be merciful. You got to be long-suffering. You can't allow evil thoughts to appear in your mind. These things take time, and it's a battle. So when you want to do what's right, be prepared for something around you to try to fall off. Let's be prepared with that. And look what Paul called himself in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So this is why we need to understand about this mercy with God. We're talking to a cold brother who works in a vineyard. Paul was a cold spade. Now, if he having a battle like this in the flesh, what make you think you're not going to go through something like this? And he called himself a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's get the answer in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So the more you spiritually, the more you keep God on your mind spiritually and to get your mind right, the better off it is for you not to fall into your flesh. But when your thoughts are when your thoughts is jacked up, it's only a matter of time before you fall because the body already wants to do it. To get you back in your feelings or your emotions or your anger or your wrath or your strife or debate. It already wants to do that. So the more we fight in our mind, the more we fight wicked and negative thoughts, the better it'll be for the flesh. Because even though the flesh wouldn't do it, your flesh might want to get into all type of crazy stuff. But if your mind is right, it's just like a parent and a child in a store. Your child is, gimme, 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 gimme. I want this, I want that. The mama's like, nope, 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 you're not getting that. Metaphorically speaking, the mother is the mind. The child is the flesh. The flesh is always, gimme, 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 gimme. I want this, I want that. But the mother, which is supposed to be our mind, is telling you, nope, nope, nope. As Brother Bowie said, beat it down, beat it down, beat it down. Let's start working on our minds and getting our minds right so we can get this thing right. Now let us go into the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and what we're going to do is read verse 9, 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this is why his mercy is great, because it gives you a chance, opportunity to repent from your shortcomings and your foolishness. He's just not going to take you out. You know, Lumber, hey, you know, he's been dealing with this hard demon for a good minute. I give him 10 years. I give him 20 years so he can get himself right. I should see some type of improvement. But in all, the Lord is long-suffering. He has given us chances and opportunities to make sure we get this thing right, brothers and sisters. Now, we're almost done with this precept. Let's move along. Let's go into the book of Romans chapter 3 so we understand something, too, because we should have talked about this earlier, but I got it here, so we're going to go to it. Let's go into the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Not 2 Peter chapter 3. I meant to say Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3, and what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So just remember that, y'all, because remember, Paul was doing all that talking about how some days is good, some days not so good, some days is awesome and amazing, some days is just flat out terrible, some days is so good I just want to scream and say hallelujah. Some days I can't look at myself in the mirror. It's a battle, brothers and sisters. And no matter how hard things get back up and try again. Get back up and try again. Because ain't nobody perfect. Everybody got something they need to work on. So don't ever feel that you're to the point that you just want to give up. Don't ever give up. I don't care what you have done. To the point that you can't look yourself in the mirror. Ask God for forgiveness and for strength and get back up and just try. Let's try to do better next time. Let's just do that. All we can do is try and give God the best we got. Your best might be a 5. Your best might be a 2. Your best might be a 6. Or your best might be a 7. Let's try to stay at those areas and go above those numbers. Some might be a 10. Does not mean every day you're going to be a 10. Some days you might drop down to a 4 or 5. But the whole thing is that you constantly keep improving. You constantly keep moving. And we got a lot of this charity stuff out of the way. So what we're going to do is we're going to do two more. Let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. We're going to do two more. Well, we're going to do this one and another one. We'll be done for tonight. I got my point across. Let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 7. The book of Psalms, 37. And we're going to read verses 7 through 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Amen. So let's remember that. Let's control our anger. Let's control our wrath. Let's forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So just because things not going your way doesn't mean that you have to put matters into your own hand. Let's patiently wait for the Most High God and to understand that he's a great and very merciful God. Now we have one more after this. Now let's go into the book of Philippians chapter 4, the book of Philippians chapter 4, and this will be last. The book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and all we want is verse 6. And this will be last, brothers and sisters. Be careful for nothing, but in everything
by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So whatever your issues is, whatever you need help with, whatever issue in the flesh that you're dealing with, whatever shortcoming you have, make a request unto God and believe and have faith that the Most High God will get you through anything. You have to believe it. When you pray it, believe it will happen and patiently wait for it. And understand that God will do every single thing he say he's going to do because he is great in mercy, plentiful is in mercy, long-suffering, slow to anger. And understand, like the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, 22 through 24 said, God's mercy is new every morning, which means brand new, fashion, and advanced. Because we need that type of mercy in this westernized world. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding of this precept. And the name of the precept is called, God's mercy is new every morning. I turn things over to the host. I thank y'all for your time. I bid y'all Godspeed. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
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 All right. For his mercy will do it forever.
Thank you, Lord. All glory go to the Father. All glory go to the Father. All praise to the Father in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Father. So we want to make sure that we seek that mercy, that we ask for it, that we stay in this race.
Amen.
That we be not so hard to judge. Looking at myself in the mirror. So praise God. Great lesson, my brother. Great chastisement, great encouragement. I think we all receive something out of that. I know I did. So praise Yah. Are there any other comments? No other comments?
Great lesson.
Great lesson. Amen. So
I just wanted to say something really quick. Brother Isaiah, oh my goodness, thank the Heavenly Father. When you read your scriptures at the beginning of the lesson, we felt the Holy Spirit all over you. I thank the Father that you chose to do a lesson this evening. And that's Psalms 103. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We supposed to be in a dumpster somewhere 6 feet underground, but we still walk.
Say that. Oh, my. And then this is what I tell everybody. You brought up Lamentations 3:22-24, and it fits perfectly with what I tell everybody every morning that the Lord allows me to wake up. Whatever happened yesterday, that was yesterday. Learn from yesterday. Do better today. Today, give your first and your best. Because Lamentations 3:22, which you began with, is it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every what? Every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So if he's allowing you, in the name of Jesus, to wake up and still have the breath of life, then I think we should give him all the praise and glory and honor and thank him that we have not been consumed and he's given us a chance to get this thing right.
Amen.
He's given us a chance. Oh, my God. So I just want to say thank you. Praise Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We could have been dead a long time
ago. God, thank you, Brother Isaiah. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
I
yield the mic.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Amen. That's right.
What's up,
Keith? Hey,
yes.
Grace and peace, Brother Isaiah. I love the way the Lord put that on your heart. Hey,
amen.
Man, you know, you got to call it how you see it, you know. But, you know, I'm rich with love, you know. Got to keep him first. That's the only way we're going to get through these trials and tribulations that we go through. I realize, got me wrong. You know, the Lord say in Matthew 7, he say, judge not, lest ye be judged. So we shouldn't be pointing the finger at anybody out here. We should just learn how to improve ourselves, to be a better people, to be his children together.
Mm-hmm.
Of all nations.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know what the Lord holds for us, but I do keep the faith. And much love to y'all and those out here fighting this struggle within our hearts. You know, because he'll circumcise our hearts and we'll get understanding. We pray we never look back. But he circumcised our hearts in so many different ways, to baptism and things of that sort. But I just thank God that we're still on the straight and narrow, and we should never let anybody steer us away from the purpose that God has bestowed upon us. So, good reading, Brother Isaiah. I mean, good lesson, Brother Isaiah. And everything else in which that came with this and those. And with that, I close.
Amen.
All
right.
Amen.
Thank you for your input.
Amen.
All right, go ahead. Somebody else
have
something to say?
Any other comment? Any last words, Brother Isaiah? Any closing comments?
Oh no, enough. We did enough for today. You know, the purpose, the goal for the precept was just to show people, you know, no matter how hard life gets, keep going. You know, don't fall off.
Amen.
And just think that that's it. You know, Lord, mercy is new every morning. You know, so keep on fighting, keep pushing forward, and keep trying to do what's right in the mighty name of Jesus. I hear the mic.
Amen. All right, excellent precept, my brother. Great encouragement. For tomorrow evening, we will have the Sabbath lesson, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're starting the priesthood. And for Shabbat day, I will tell you what we will talk about or what we're going to go through on tomorrow night. But we're going to start the priesthood tomorrow night. And we pray that everybody be there. If the Most High allows you to wake up, make sure you give him praise for his mercy. For his mercy endureth forever. As my brother said, think on tomorrow what good you might do for someone else, for someone you know that may be in need, that may be going through, what help that you may be. And let us bow our heads before we depart for this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a word of encouragement tonight. Father, we know that you are merciful and that you are gracious and that you are kind and loving. And Father, we seek to always be in your grace. We know we don't always walk perfect, Father, and we seek your face, not impute our sins against us, but to have mercy upon us, each and every one of us, a sinner. Father, as we go our separate ways, we ask that you would keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Encamp your angels around us and let us arrive again at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yahoo!